All right, folks, here we go. Big one today. It's week 9. It's a halfway point. It's the beginning of November. November, you know, that we get to that time of the year where we're getting down close to the home stretch. And obviously, weather's going to play a role. Maybe not today. It's actually a nice day around the country. But eventually, we're going to get into that tough weather. And games will matter. And everything else will go into it. But today's a big one. Big matchup for the Eagles and the Cowboys. They meet. And it's going to be big. And obviously, everybody else. A lot of great matchups today. So, we'll get right to it. Obviously, you know, we have some unanimous, but we're going to just flag these unanimous as a shotgun no huddle so we can just get through some of these bad matchups first. So right away, we will start with, even though it's not a match, it's not a sexy matchup and it sucks, but it has meaning to it. The Giants and the Raiders. The Giants are just a terrible team. We know that. We've seen how bad they are. And they get Danny Dimes back. Everybody excited for that. Whoopee. They play the Raiders today, who have made a lot of wholesale changes in the last 4 or 5 days. They fired their head coach, their GM, their offensive coordinator, and they benched their supposed to be franchise guy, Jimmy Garoppolo. But who's now running the Raiders, the head coach, is a familiar name to the Giants. Antonio Pierce, formerly won 2 championships with them, with the organization. So, like I said, his first ever head coaching opportunity, and he has a pretty personal matter to deal with his old team. So, I know you don't want to talk about this game, but go to this matchup.
Yeah, I'm not talking about any of these garbage games, man. We're going to have to fly right through it so we can actually talk about the games that matter. So, I mean, the only thing I'll say about this is typically when a team fires their coach, they tend to at least bounce back for a week or two. And I think Antonio Pierce, just like even Jeff Saturday got a win last year in week 1. I think he'll have them ready to play. So Raiders win, final score 27-16.
Yeah, I'm not going to make it too close. I mean, obviously, neither team are doing anything significant. No, I actually went with the Giants earlier in the week, but I've turned my way. I think the Raiders will win. Adrian O'Connell will start for them. We'll see what happens. But, yeah, Raiders should beat the Giants here. Sadly, that's a late game on Fox. If you don't live in Vegas or in the New York City area, then you get to see the Eagles and Cowboys. Everybody else will get to see that. But that's the only, you know, it's sad for those two to have to watch that crap. So, Raiders win, final score 17-16.
Yeah, well, you should just get Sunday ticket, man. They just dropped the price on it for the second half of the year. So,
yeah,
if you actually care about watching good games instead of whatever garbage is your local game.
Yeah. All right. Well, we won't have to do the shotgun no huddle here. We'll just go through some unanimous picks here. We have the Browns over the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Even though Deshaun Watson is back in the lineup, that's questionable to see if he can be healthy or not. Yeah. We have the Saints over the Bears.
Yep. That's one of my picks from Wednesday. I already talked about that one.
Now they want us to pick a pick on the Colts and the Panthers. John's favorite team, the Colts. That's also Katie's manager special game, so Your thoughts, you know, quickly your thoughts on this matchup.
Yeah, I'm not going to say much about it because I already talked about this because this is my other pick from Wednesday and I picked the Panthers to win outright. So I'm sticking to that pick. I'm taking the Panthers outright and I'll say the final score 24-20.
Yeah, this is big for there's a lot of personal games today and this is very impersonal for Frank Wright, who coached the Colts the last 5 seasons, previous 5 seasons. So, of course, this is very important to him to beat this team. And I think he will put it together. I think for the first time this year, the Panthers will put together a pretty good game plan, and they should be able to take care of business. So I got the Panthers winning in the final score 24-17.
Okay.
All right, so that ends that part, and now we're going to get into some of these bigger matchups here, or so-called bigger matchups. So we're going to start in New England today. I know this might still suck, but still, they consider this an interesting game. Obviously, Washington and Sam Howell coming off, even though they lost, they felt like they played big time with the Eagles, and yeah, they did play the Eagles really tough the last couple of their two matchups. But now they have to get that out of the way. Where are they at? They still have an outside threat of being in the wild card chase for now, but we'll see what happens. New England really has no chance. They're right now has the worst record in the AFC, and Belichick, things are just not going well for him at all. So big matchup, or so-called big matchup, unless you are in favor of those teams. So go ahead.
Yeah, this isn't – I'm not wasting time on this garbage either, man. All I'll say is Sam Howell, he turns back into the pumpkin this week. So Patriots win. Final score, 20-13.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they were ready for the Eagles, but the game still ain't ready for a lot of teams around this league. Because if you look at Washington this year, they haven't played well at all. I mean – they got blown out by the Bills at home. They got blown out by the Bears at home. I mean, really. Yeah, you might have played strong against the Eagles, but that's all you can do. Against Belichick and that defense, I really don't think you have a chance at all, in my opinion. I think, the Patriots aren't a really good football team either. So I say, though, Mac Jones will have a late touchdown pass. Now we'll determine the game here. So I got the Patriots as well. Final score, 22-17.
Okay.
All right, now, of course, like I said, for people who have followed us for years, we go from the worst matchup to the best matchup, so we're going to continue that tradition. Obviously, we're going to Lambeau Field here, Green Bay. Things have not really gone well for them over the last several weeks. They have lost four straight games, and now they're playing a Rams team that's kind of like them, middle of the road, not a lot to look forward to at the moment, but they're out here and they're going to try to make it matter to them, after getting trounced by the Cowboys last week. Critical matchup here today. Rams, they're playing a 1 o'clock game. That's rare for them as well. So interesting matchup. Can Jordan Love finally get back on track? Because a lot of people are in Green Bay aren't thrilled of his performance here this season. But there's still time to turn it around, so we'll see what happens today. Go ahead.
All right, yeah, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this either. I mean, bottom line, Jordan Love hasn't played as well as I was hoping he would or thought he would. The whole offense hasn't, but the Rams don't have Stafford. They got, Brett Rippon as their quarterback. So even though the Packers start off slow and barely score any points in the first half, I think this will be a low-scoring game, and the Packers pull out in the second half. So, Green Bay, I'm going to say 19-16.
Yeah, this hasn't been a good year for either team to this point. Like I said, the Rams got trounced in Dallas last week, while Green Bay just has not looked good at all. And really, if you're looking at these two teams, I mean, I don't see them going to January any further. So when you look at, you telling me that Stafford is out and Mark Rippon is coming in.
As far as I know, last I heard he was out. I mean, I didn't see a final designation, but even if he plays, he's got that thumb injury. So he's not going to be
affected. That damn sure is going to affect him. It will obviously affect him. So if he is playing, we don't know that, but okay, we assume that, but like I said, it doesn't really matter. They're playing the Packers, who have not looked good this year. And unfortunately, Jordan Love, even though he's thrown for 11 touchdown passes, it's still not good enough. It's just not – this team is just not where it needs to be right now. They really don't – they just don't have any good chemistry, and things are just not going well for them. So I'm going to go with the Rams here. I think that, they have better weapons So and the quarterback will find a way to get to them. So I'm going to go with the Rams here on the road here, and the final score 20-17.
Okay.
All right. We will now move to the second part of my board here. We're going to go to an interesting matchup in Houston today. Tampa Bay obviously has struggled the last several weeks, but still in the hunt there in the NFC South. And then obviously, you're looking at the Texans coming off a tough loss in the battle of rookie quarterbacks. Obviously, things have gone well for these two teams, and then sometimes it hasn't. But a critical matchup here for these two teams, looking at making the playoffs by the wild card, or in Buck's case, potentially the division. So a critical matchup here today. Go ahead.
All right, yeah, I mean, this is one of the, I think I have six, maybe, games here that I actually put together notes on, because I saved my notes for the ones that actually mean something. And yeah, both these teams have played a lot better this year than people expected. I mean, I expected Tampa to be bottom three in the NFL. Houston, I expected to be a lot better than people thought, but a lot of people thought Houston would be picking in the top one or two. Well, not them, because they traded their first round pick, but still, that their pick would be top cup one or two or three. Either way, they're both playing a lot better than we thought, than people thought. But I'm looking at some matchups here that I'm keeping an eye on. When it comes to Tampa, Carlton Davis, their cornerback, he's allowing a 1.45 yards per coverage snap, which ranks 56th out of 69 cornerbacks in the NFL. So he's been one of the worst starting cornerbacks in the NFL, and he's going up against Nico Collins, who has a 0.73 EPA per target, which ranks number two in the NFL among wide receivers. So there's a matchup there for CJ Stroud to look for. Could be something. Not to mention, if Carlton Davis lines up on Tank Dell could expose him as well. I look at the Houston offense, though. The big thing with them is they got a good passing game with CJ Stroud, but their running game is killing them. Man, they're getting a lot of second and third and longs. They got just a 35.1% rush success rate, which is 29th in the NFL. Some of it's the offensive line, but a lot of it's the poor running back play. But the offensive line is doing good in pass protection lately. They're fourth in the NFL in pass blocking efficiency since week five. And one thing to keep an eye on here, the Bucs have a blitz rate of 46.3%, which is fourth highest in the NFL. So they like to blitz the quarterback. And CJ Stroud's yards per attempt versus the blitz is 33% higher than what it is against a regular pass rush. So, you know, he's been awesome against the blitz, and the Bucs like the blitz. So that's going to be the key there. And I think CJ Stroud has a big game, and Houston gets the victory. So I'm going to go final score. I'm going to say 31-23.
Yeah, I mean, obviously these two teams, they are better than what they expected to be this year. I mean, you expect the Houston to be improved. Of course they have improved. You know, DeMeco Ryans is a really good coach. It seems like CJ Stroud is going to make it as a decent quarterback, franchise quarterback. Obviously for Tampa, you know, they got off to a strong start. They were 3-1. But now they have lost their last three games. And, you know, Baker's what he is. I mean, you know, decent quarterback, but never going to be great quarterback. Never going to be a good enough quarterback. And, you know, right now the confidence in that organization is starting to wane on him. But he's still going to be their star, at least for the time being. And, I mean, these defenses, they haven't really played that great. Tampa's defense isn't as good as they should be. I think that was their strength in the Brady years, but obviously that era is over, so obviously they are what they are, and we'll see what happens here today. But, you know, Houston has some decent wins at home. They do play better at home than they do on the road, so I agree with you. I think Houston's going to find a way to win this matchup. I just don't see where Tampa even shows up in a way. So I'm going to go with the Texans and the final score. And I think they're wearing all red today as well. So if you somehow sneak into watching this game, I think they're wearing red because I saw DeMeco wearing a red shirt. So Houston wins and the final score 26-16.
Okay.
All right. Now this is an interesting matchup. This might be the most interesting matchup of the day, even though it's not a big matchup, but it's very important because the quarterbacks have changed dramatically. For the Vikings, after a very slow start, 0-3 or 0-4, something like that, they have won their last three or four games. They're now at 500 and has a legit chance to get back into the postseason race. In fact, they probably have from the start they've had. But your boy, you call the winner, Kirk Cousins, sadly is done for the season with a torn Achilles. He's done. And they're starting a rookie today. I forgot his name. Hall, Z Hall, somebody like that.
You know the name. Hall.
What is it?
Jaren Hall
from BYU. Jaren Hall. Jaren Hall. Now, they did trade for Josh Dobbs, who has started most of the games this year in Arizona. So, very much we'll see what happens here today. For the Falcons, you've been right on me in the last couple of weeks about Desmond Ridder and his game and his gameplay. It's gotten to the point where Atlanta had to make a move, and they've gone to one of your boys, who you call the beer, and you call the beer Taylor Heineke. He gets the start. The longtime Washington quarterback, now in Atlanta, is getting the start today. So two different quarterbacks than what they expected maybe 2 weeks ago. And it's a critical matchup because also Atlanta also at 4-4 in a tight battle in the NFC South. So a critical matchup between two quarterbacks that weren't on the radar 10 days ago. So go ahead.
All right, man. Well, yeah, like you said, this is a battle of two backup quarterbacks going head-to-head. And this is also my lock of the week. You know, Atlanta's giving up 3.5. And I'm going to end up taking Atlanta in this game as my lock of the week because the bottom line, Jaren Hall is a stiff from, you know, came out of BYU late round draft. He's not going to do anything. He's not coming in the NFL. He's not going to throw for four touchdowns like Will Levis did last week. I'll tell you that. And meanwhile, Heineken, you know, for all the shit I talked on him for a couple years, I mean, he's shown himself to be a competent, at least backup NFL quarterback. And he did it last week. He threw for 175 yards and a touchdown after he came in to the game. Obviously, that wasn't like a full game worth of stats. But, you know, once again, he managed this offense and led him down the field and actually got something out of him, which is what he kind of did in Washington, too. Couple things to look for here. One thing that I like with Atlanta as well is their defense. Their EPA per rush attempt is 0.21, which is number one in the NFL. And when you factor in that the Vikings are going with a rookie bum quarterback, and if they're not going to be able to run the ball on top of having Jaren Hall out there, that's not looking good for their offense, and their defense isn't very good either. So I expect Heineke to put up points, and not to mention Bijan Robinson. And then the other thing I'm looking at is the matchup of Jordan Addison and Jeffrey Okuda. Bottom line, Justin Jefferson is out, obviously. So you're looking at Jordan Addison and TJ Hockenson as really the only legit options in the passing game. And Addison's been really good as a rookie. 0.59 EPA per target, ninth in the NFL. But Jeffrey Okuda's allowing just 0.46 yards per coverage snap, which is third in the NFL. So he's been really good. So I don't expect a big game out of if Kirk Cousins was playing, I wouldn't expect a big game out of Jordan Addison. So with Jaren Hall out there, I'm expecting nothing out of him. So bottom line, Atlanta, they're going to put up points behind Heineke, and Minnesota is going to do nothing. I don't even think they're going to break 10 points. So Atlanta giving up 3.5. This is a joke. I'll take that all day. Or I should say, I'll give that all day for Atlanta. So Falcons win. And I think Heinicke might be named the starter for the rest of the year. Final score, I'm going to say 27-6.
Well, we are past the halfway. We are at the halfway point, and we did have our trade deadline just passed this past week. One of the things, and I'll make this quick before I get to this matchup. One thing I learned about the NFL compared to the other major sports leagues is that you go through a lot before the start of the season. You go before the preseason, either. You go through a lot of training camp and learning the gameplay and the game book and all that, the playbook. When you get traded in the middle of the season, that's a major, unlike in basketball and baseball, that's hard to get used to changing rosters and learning a new playbook.
Oh, yeah, that takes weeks, man.
Yeah, Josh Jobs is now the Vikings quarterback. He's now in the Vikings. And he's not starting today because he has to learn the playbook. He's not used to the offense that Kevin O'Connell is running. So, to me, that's a major, major... You know, when you trade a player, I mean, it's exciting, but then again, it's different than in the other sports where you can just plug and play guys. That doesn't work in the NFL because of all the training and all the learnings and stuff. It's a difficult, difficult deal to do during the middle of the season. So that's something I have a little bit of an issue with. You know, I understand the trade deadlines in sports, but at the end of the day, you know, you work hard and bust your ass in July and August to get ready for the season, and then you get traded, and it's like, whatever.
But yeah, anyway, it goes the other way too, man.
Matchup,
it goes the other way too, you know. You could be a veteran on a team that you think is going to be a possible Super Bowl contender. You get a bunch of injuries, and they're ready to hit the reset button. What are you going to do? You can't make a trade during the season? I mean, at least – They could trade you to a team that actually is a Super Bowl contender. And, you know, just like with Kevin Bayard with the Eagles, you know, went from the Titans to the Eagles because the Titans suck and they gave him up. I mean, what are you going to do? Say that week one is the trade deadline and just because you have to learn a new playbook?
Well, I understand that, but I just know that, I mean, if you traded Josh for Josh Johnson, then if you feel that way, then start him then. That's how I look at it. That's how I would look at it.
Well, but you can't start him that quickly. He's not going to learn not going to learn enough of the playbook to start right away. Yeah. But they also he's not guaranteed the starting job. You know, after this week, Nate Mullins is supposed to come off the IR, so
yeah, Nick Mullins.
Nick Mullins. So I mean, it's not guaranteed that Dobbs is even the starter. They just traded for another quarterback, basically, and Dobbs got benched for. Well, I don't think Kyler Murray's even playing. I think they're playing Clayton Tune or something this week.
Yeah, some guy. I just saw who he is, number 15. Yeah, I don't know who he is, but anyway, like I said, it's just the Vikings sadly do not have a plan B. This was Kirk Cousins. And now he's gone, and now you have to figure out who's going to be. And the sad thing is, it's not like the Vikings are struggling. They're in the playoff battle, and they're right now in the battle for a wild card spot. So that's even more of a struggle if you're looking at it. It's panic time in Minnesota right now at that position. But to this game, obviously the Falcons, unlike in the Vikings situation, they know what they're doing. Taylor Heinicke is a proven backup. He's been mostly a backup in his career. Obviously, he started 25 games for the Washington team, which obviously has changed names over the last couple of years while he was there. And he's 12-1 as a starter. So he has a history and a track record. Not the greatest quarterback, but not a terrible quarterback. I mean, his numbers are pretty good. So today, we'll see what happens here. I mean, obviously, you know, this matchup would have been a whole lot different if Cousins was the starter for the Vikings, but he's not. Justin Jefferson is also not in this game. So I expect to agree with you. I think the Falcons will win pretty comfortably. This could be one of their bigger wins in a while. So I'm going to go with the Falcons and the final score 27-13.
All right. Well, I will say this. I always make a couple preseason predictions. We're at the midpoint of the season. I'm going to make a prediction. I don't know if it's a bold prediction. I don't know why I would say that, but still, you know, last year Heinicke almost led the Red Washington to the playoffs, and then they inexplicably benched him for Wentz and blew it. I'm going to say this year Heinicke leads Atlanta not only to the playoffs but the divisional. The division victory, they're going to win that division behind Heinicke.
All right. Well, that's your prediction. I don't agree, but whatever.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see, man. Unless they bench him, and then at that point, the Saints win that division. But if they're smart enough to keep him starting, because Ritter's shown he can't play, I think he's going to take them to the divisional victory, and they'll be in the playoffs with a home game.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Obviously, we'll look into that, but obviously, we'll continue on. We're going to move to the Monday night matchup. One of my picks for the week, and like I said, my picks shockingly are the same as last week, but for different reasons than last week. I haven't picked many dogs this year, and the Jets are a dog against the Chargers. They're 3.5-point dogs. But this is a Monday night game, prime time, and the Jets have shown up in primetime games this year, shockingly. And the Chargers, obviously, they've been playing pretty good ball here recently, coming off a big win on Sunday night. Now they're playing on Monday night. But they have to travel all the way to the East Coast. They have to leave Inglewood to come up to the Meadowlands. It'll be interesting, and we'll see what happens. And Jets, the vibe is good. They've won their last three games. Aaron Rodgers is well supportive, and he believes he's going to come back. The story is he's going to come back and even play, potentially, even rumoredly, before the end of this season's over. I doubt that, but he believes he's doing really, really well from the surgery. The surgery that he's had, which is speeded up more than others. I'm sure Kirk Cousins would wish he had that kind of doctor, but who knows, since he has an Achilles now. But we'll see what happens there. But critical matchup here for both teams. The Jets continue to improve, and they're hoping that they can get their fourth straight victory, for my sakes, at least cover, you know, because they don't have to win, but they do need to cover. Will the Chargers at least continue their march back into the hunt in the wild card chase? So, big matchup tomorrow night. Go ahead.
All right. Yeah, as we're talking here, the Dolphins are sitting here over the 4th and 10 with a minute left and trying to come back from a 21-0 deficit at half. So, we'll see. We'll see what happens on this play. But, yeah, in terms of this game, this isn't one I put a whole lot into. I'll be honest. Neither of these teams are going to the playoffs. Let's just call it what it is. Zach Wilson sucks. The Jets are on a winning streak. Yeah, that's nice. They got a great defense. They're not going anywhere. The AFC is too tough. Maybe if they were in the NFC, they could sneak into the playoffs, and then maybe Aaron Rodgers claims he might be able to come back. You know, we'd see, but this is the AFC. They're not making the playoffs. And the Chargers suck. Their defense sucks. Their offense hasn't been as good as I was thinking it could be. I thought Kellen Moore and there's the game. Kellen Moore and the receivers being healthy, I thought Justin Herbert would have a monster year. He hasn't been terrible, but he hasn't been as good as I was expecting. So, nonetheless, I'm going with the Chargers here. I'm going to stick with my quarterback. I'm going to stick with Justin Herbert. So, I'm going to say the Chargers. Maybe they don't put up a ton of points, but they do something. I'll say 23-17.
Yeah, this should be interesting. I mean, yeah, I understand. The Jets played a garbage game last week. It was one of the worst games of the year. It was probably far the worst game, pretty much from an offensive standpoint, you can play. But they did win. They found a way to win. And obviously, they've won their last three. Remember, I know people I know you, John, and Kwame aren't happy about it because this is obviously where the Eagles, you know, the Eagles lost, the only loss of the year came to these Jets. You can say what you want to say, but Jets defense has played very well at home this year. And obviously, that's something that if you're the Chargers, you got to be prepared for. If you're Justin Herbert, you have to be prepared for, because the Jets have put quarterbacks down in this in with their defense this year. Guys like Jalen Hurts, like, you know, Patrick Mahomes, like Josh Allen. They had their worst games of the year because in this against these in this defense. And you're going to tell me that Justin Herbert's going to have it better than them? Is he going to do what they couldn't do? And we Justin Herbert's one of the top quarterbacks in this league. But we viewed him lower than those three. We view him a little lower than those three. So at the end of the day, if you're really going to tell me that things are going to be different, that the Chargers are just going to come into MetLife and just dominate the Jets, it's not happening. I don't care who the hell you are. Jets defense is for real. And they damn sure can get themselves back into hunt. Now, yeah, you say in a tough – yeah, the AFC is tough. Don't get me wrong. AFC is one of the tougher conferences. It's a tougher conference, but they could slip. There's a door slippage. Somebody's going to slip into the playoffs you didn't expect. Jets could be that team. They really could with that defense. And, you know, they feel more confident now than they did in week three. I'll tell you that. Like 5-6 weeks ago, they didn't have the confidence they have now. So not only did I pick the Jets to cover the 3.5, I'm picking them outright to win. I think they're going to win this game. I do. I'm not saying that the Chargers won't come in here and dominate, or they'll have a lead. They'll do some things. But at the end of the day, I trust the Jets defense more than I will trust Justin Herbert. So at the end of the day, I'm going with the Jets. I'm going with the J-E-T-S, Jets, to find a way here. And they will. Somehow they'll make Zach Wilson look decent at the end, you know, because there's glimpses of him being a franchise, not a franchise quarterback, but a decent enough quarterback to get by. So, yeah, I know. I'm not jumping the hurdle that, you know, he's going to have this gem of a game. I don't think he will, but the Jets defense is elite, and you have to admit that. If you're an Eagles fan, you have to admit that, because they beat us. At the end of the day, yeah, we might be ourselves, but Jets have done enough. They've done enough damage. So at the end of the day, I'm going with the Jets, and the final score, 23-20.
Okay. Well, we'll see.
All right. Now it gets a little more, you know, now we feel, you know, it's a sad part of the show here coming up now. We normally don't get emotional about a matchup. Of course, yeah, we have a big matchup coming up here for us here in Philly, but tonight is a critical matchup in the AFC, but also it goes back to the scene of a very tragic event that took place near the end of the regular season last year between these two teams, the Bengals and the Bills. It was on a Monday night late in the year where everything was a big Monday night matchup, critical for AFC seeding. And unfortunately, DeMar Hamlin sadly had a cardiac arrest, a moment on the field where he basically was clinically dead. And luckily, they were able to get him a pulse and was able to save his life. The medics out there in Cincinnati. He's made a full recovery. He's still playing. Even though he's a backup, corner, but he is still playing in this league today, or backup safety, I think. But obviously, it's a very emotional night for both teams. Obviously, once you get past that pregame and all that, then it becomes a very important game, a critical game for two teams with obviously big time expectations. The Bengals started sadly 1-3. But they have won their last three. They're coming off a big, big win last week against a contender in the NFC. And we'll see what happens there. While the Bills, they're coming off a win also last week. But But I said, critical matchup here with a lot on the line here. When you think about the AFC seeding, this matchup will come a long way to determining where teams will be going, or if one of these teams even missed the playoffs. So go ahead.
Okay. Well, you know, I don't know that I would call it what happened last year tragic, because I mean, Hamlin actually lived. I mean, if you want to call something tragic, I mean, I don't know if you saw about, you don't watch hockey, but still, that the guy, the hockey player that got his throat cut in the game. I mean, that's actually tragic, but you know, nonetheless, when it comes to this game, yeah, like you said, there's going to be a lot of emotions here, especially with the Bills. Obviously, at the end of the season, we know what happened, and then we saw in the playoffs these two teams met, and Cincinnati whooped up on the Bills, you know, in the playoffs. So we're talking about a potential revenge game here on top of everything else. And you look at some of the matchups and some of the numbers here. Right off the bat, I'm looking at Buffalo and their running attack. They're not a team that's known as like a running team. Obviously, they like to pass the ball, and then Josh Allen does make plays with his legs. But Buffalo leads the NFL with a 46.5% rush success rate, and Cincinnati's D is 31st against the run. So, I mean, right off the bat, Buffalo should be coming out and trying to pound the ball. We'll see. We'll see. Like I said, they'd like to throw the ball, but still. Another matchup I've looked for that kind of favors Buffalo is Ed Oliver, their defensive tackle that they drafted a few years ago, number 9 overall. They just gave him an extension in the offseason. He's finally having his breakout year this year. And he's 7th in the NFL in pass rush efficiency. And he's going up against a guy that I did like as a day 3 offensive lineman. But a guy, obviously, when you're talking about a day 3 offensive lineman, the guy might not come in and dominate right away. But he's going up against Cordell Volson from North Dakota State, who has allowed 19 pressures, quarterback pressures, 9th most in the NFL. So you got that, you know, that built another advantage for the Bills. Bills have had a lot of injuries on defense. And at the trade deadline this week, I don't know if you noticed, but they traded for a name that we know, a player that we know, Rasul Douglas.
Yes, yes.
Yep, yep.
Know very well.
Yeah, and he's you know, even when he played on the Eagles, when he actually got in the games, he was pretty solid. But since he left the Eagles and found an actual role with the team, he's been very good. So that's going to help that defense, even though, like we were just saying at the trade deadline, I mean, it takes a couple of weeks to learn a playbook, or at least get somewhat up to speed on the playbook. So, nonetheless, he's going to be playing today. And then, this is going to be here's the key, man, is Cincinnati's defense versus Josh Allen. Because Cincinnati's D can get after the quarterback. They got a 39.9 pressure rate, which is 6th in the NFL. But, obviously, they're going to have to get after Josh Allen and keep him in the pocket, because Allen can make plays with his legs, and he's been getting rid of the ball a lot quicker this year. And you look at last week, he had a 2.27 second average time to throw the ball. So, you know, he has been getting rid of the ball a lot quicker than we're used to. But when he is under pressure, he can make plays with his legs too. And he's big. He's hard to take down. And then one last matchup to look at here that I think also favors Buffalo, well, I don't think, I know, is that Cincinnati D, they allow a 0.3 EPA per target to tight ends, which is 28th in the NFL, and Dalton Kincaid, the rookie, the Bills' first-round draft pick, he's got a 71% success rate, which leads the NFL among tight ends. I mean, he's been getting open. So I expect a big game out of him. I expect a big game out of Josh Allen when they actually do throw the ball, but I do expect Buffalo to try to establish the run early as well. Nonetheless, I do see Cincinnati putting up some points on that Buffalo D, but I think Buffalo is going to take it to them. I see that revenge game coming, and they're going to be motivated between the revenge game, DeMar Hamlin. They haven't been as good this year as the past few years. I think they're going to come up big. So I'm going with Buffalo. I'm going to say final score is going to be 33-24.
Well, like I said, I mean, this is a very important game for both teams. Like I said, take the emotion on the DeMar Hamlin deal out of the way. These two teams did meet in the playoffs, and it didn't go well for the Bills. It was a snow game, too, which we were also cheated out last week with the Chiefs and the Broncos. We were cheated out of that. So, but that was an interesting matchup, you know. But unfortunately, you know, we look at the Bills. I mean, they play decent. They play very good defense. They have a decent line. But they haven't played well at all the last several weeks. I mean, even against Tampa Bay, they didn't look as sharp as they needed to be. Even though they dominated that game, the score indicates it could have went a different way if a turnover or something else happened. So, obviously, when you look at this matchup, obviously, there's a lot of interesting matchups here. But remember, this is the Bengals that they're playing, and Joe Burrow is starting to turn this around after a slow start. They had a dominant win last week against the 49ers. Obviously, they played on both sides. They dominated both lines of scrimmage, and that obviously matters. When you can dominate both lines, that gives you a very good advantage. And I just think that with Buffalo, I don't trust, they don't run the ball very well. And the secondary, like I said, you bring in Rasul Douglas because your secondary, you lost your number one, you lost Tre'Davious White, who's very important to you, who's been very important. You know, he's out there and Buffalo's defense is as elite as any defense in the league. But now you have to bring in Rasul Douglas. And, yeah, he's gotten much better since he left the Eagles. He had a decent run in Green Bay. That's where he was at here the last few years. But at the end of the day, you know, this, you're going against guys like T. Higgins and obviously Ja'Marr Chase, who could very well do what A.J. Brown's doing at the moment, just dominate games, catching balls and dominate games. But obviously, at the end of the day, I just don't see where Buffalo can come in here and win this game. I just think that Cincinnati, they're like I've been telling you all year, and I will continue to tell you on this show and in the other show, they've been in the top two in the AFC for a reason. They're really, really, they get their ass together when it matters. And now they realize where it's at. And to me, Cincinnati's going to be a team, everybody in this AFC is going to have to take notice. They're going to make a run, and the run's already begun in a way. So at the end of the day, I'll say this. Buffalo will play a decent enough game, but it won't be enough. I'm going to go with the home team and the Bengals. They'll find a way here, you know, give or take. You know, the score might kind of indicate something else later. So I'm going to go with the Bengals and the final score, 34-27.
Okay. We'll see.
All right. I could say this is my game of the week, but I'm not going to. But this is my other favorite team, obviously, the Ravens. They're big matchup, third straight week playing an NFC team, but second of those three here in Baltimore at home. Big matchup here with Seattle coming. Now the leaders of the NFC West. Now the leaders. But can they handle that? Can Geno Smith and that team handle being up at the top? Playing a Ravens team that's playing pretty damn good football. Last time they played in this building, they absolutely dominated a team that Seattle should know, the Lions. Obviously, this is a critical matchup here with big implications for both teams as they continue to move forward. For Seattle, trying to stay in the NFC West lead, and obviously for the Ravens, to keep up with now Kansas City, who won today in Frankfurt, Germany against the Dolphins. But a critical matchup here. So Baltimore trying to stay in the hunt as a top AFC team, while Seahawks try to stay there as the top NFC West team at the moment. So big matchup here starting very soon. Go ahead.
Okay, well, yeah, with this one, There's a few matchups I'm looking at, but right off the bat, you're talking about Baltimore, which has the number two rushing attack in the NFL, going up against that Seattle defense, which is very good against the run, man. They're allowing just a 33.9 rush success rate, which is fourth in the NFL. I mean, if you, there's one thing you can say about their D is that they are good at stopping the run. So I am looking at that matchup because if Baltimore can't establish the run, they're going to have to go this pass, which they do have an advantage over the Seattle defense. But bottom line, Lamar Jackson is – one thing about him, he's really good against a zone defense, okay? His yards per attempt is 35% higher versus zone than it is against man. And Seattle runs zone 85.2% of the time this year. So, I mean, they're almost 100% zone defense, and Lamar Jackson picks zones apart. So, you know, I mean, that's a matchup there. So Baltimore just might come out and just throw the ball all over them. We'll see. Seattle also, at the trade deadline, they did trade for Leonard Williams, which will help their defensive line, which already, like I said, it's one of the top run defenses in the NFL. But maybe it'll help him get some pressure on the quarterback as well. And then one other guy to keep an eye on, Devin Witherspoon, the rookie. My pick this year for Rookie of the Year for Seattle, Defensive Rookie of the Year. Right now he's not the favorite because Jalen Carter's been so dominant, but we'll see what happens in the second half. But last week he allowed just 3.5 yards per target. He's coming on. He was injured earlier in the year. He's coming on. We'll see what happens. But, I mean, really, I think Baltimore just matches up really well with Seattle with the strengths and weaknesses. So I think Baltimore not only is going to win this one, I think they're going to win by multiple scores. So I'm going to give Baltimore the victory here with the final score 34-20.
And you wonder why I picked this game as one of my locks. Obviously, you know, the Ravens being at home has obviously been good to them this year, especially against NFC opponents. They're playing another NFC opponent third straight week, and Lamar has just been so great against the NFC. 17-1 now. If Baltimore was an NFC team, then the Eagles would be in second place. That's just how good the Ravens have been this year. Obviously, and the Seahawks. Of course, the Ravens have the number three overall defense, and of course, that's been a help because, like I said, Seattle, they're making the trip. Like I said, I'm not going to use that excuse of West Coast teams coming east to play in the Eastern time zone. That myth is a myth. It's a joke. You come out here, you play a good game. You don't worry about the clock. You worry about being what you can be. And obviously, we'll see what happens here. But Seattle, I mean, they're coming off an impressive win. I mean, playing the Browns defense. Now you have to play another tough defense. And remember, this is the AFC East or AFC North, where everybody plays great defense, basically. So when you're looking at it, this is going to be a critical deal for Seattle and Geno Smith. And unfortunately, Geno Smith historically doesn't really do great on the road historically as a starting quarterback. So this, like I said, this is one of my locks. When we picked on Wednesday, was what, 6.5 points I picked?
Something like that,
yeah. It was at 6.5 points, right?
Let's see. I can look it up. Where is it? Oh, here, I got it. Yeah, it was 6 even, minus 6.
All right, well, it's moved up to 6.5 on most lines, but yeah, remember, folks, when we pick on Wednesday, yeah, the line could still change from Wednesday to Sunday, but when we pick it, it's an official line. So whatever, if we win, it goes above it, we win. So, and no matter there. So, at the end of the day, I need them to win by 7. That's a touchdown. They'll win more by more. I'll give the Ravens a pretty comfortable victory here. I don't think they'll destroy them like they did the Lions, but it'll still be a comfortable win. So I'm going to go with my Ravens in a critical deal, keep up with Kansas City and go to 7-2, and the final score 33-17.
Okay, man. Yeah, we got one game to pick, and we got exactly 10 minutes as of right now.
Oh, good. We got plenty of time. But obviously, this is my game of the week. It's America's game of the week. It's everybody's game of the week, unless you're in New York or Las Vegas, who has to watch the crappy game. Big matchup here. Obviously, it's the NFC East, the top two teams, Cowboys, big matchup. Obviously, Dak playing the Eagles have had a lot of success, shockingly. But obviously, they're playing an Eagles team with Jalen Hurts, and it's a different time. It's a different deal. Eagles have been at the top of the NFL the last couple of years. They've been at the top of the NFC. They don't sweat this Cowboy team, and I should, and nobody should sweat them either. And this should be a critical matchup here. But this is a very critical matchup for the Cowboys. After this, the Eagles go into their bye. If the Eagles win, they're in full control of the NFC East. Now, regardless, if they don't win, they still lead the NFC East, but Dallas can get going and take the division lead next week if they win tonight. But if the Eagles win, they're in full control, and Dallas is going to have to figure out how to be the top wild card team moving forward. Obviously, there is another matchup later in the year, obviously, between these two teams in a critical deal down the road. But for this matchup, this is the big, big, big matchup. Both teams need it very much. We'll see what happens. A.J. Brown trying to continue an NFL record, seventh straight game with over 120 yards of receiving, 125 actually. But interesting deal. Lots of critical matchups. We'll do it as quickly as we can. My game of the week, big game. Somebody's got to do something here. Something's got to give. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I mean, we know both these teams. We've talked about them and covered them and watched. Obviously watched every Eagles game, all that. I mean, we know both these teams are built similarly. They're both built with strength in the lines, and that's where this game's going to be won and lost. It's in the trenches, man. The Eagles, the last 3 weeks, their offensive line hasn't been good. They've allowed 49 pressures in the last three games. That's an NFL high. I know Lane Johnson has been playing with an ankle sprain. He actually allowed one sack for the first time in like 2 years during a couple weeks ago. Cam Jurgens, I'm sure he's still out. I know he's been
activated. Yeah, he's out today.
Yeah.
He's still out.
Yeah, I know he's been activated, but he's out. We've had Sua Opeta in there, and he's been terrible. He's probably the main reason why our offensive line has been so bad. But last I heard, I don't know. I don't know if you've heard any like final confirmation, but we might be looking at Tyler Steen starting at right guard this week. And I like it. I like the guy before the draft. I like the draft pick. He's been sitting there at Stoutland U for the last half season. I think he's ready to go. And he only played six snaps last week, but in those six snaps, he was fairly impressive. So I do like that. I think that's going to help. One guy on this offensive line you can give a lot of credit to, though, is Jordan Mailata. He's been awesome this year. He's got to make his first Pro Bowl this year. I mean, he leads all offensive linemen, not just tackles, not just left tackles. He leads all offensive linemen in the NFL in Pro Football Focus grade. He's been awesome, man. So, you know, we do have some injuries, and it's been affecting our offensive line play. But these guys need to step it up because we're going up against the Dallas defense that leads the NFL in pass rush in pressure rate with their pass rush at 48%. So they get after the quarterback, man. So we got to be ready. And previous games, we've seen Lane Johnson line up against Micah Parsons, and we've seen him shut Micah Parsons down. We need Lane to come out and have a big game again. And then on the other side of the ball, you look at Dallas's offense, their offensive line, I should say. They do have some injuries too. Tyron Smith may be out. I haven't seen any.
He's playing. I heard he's playing.
He is playing. Okay, but he's
playing. He's activated.
Okay, but he is playing injured. So you know that's going to have an effect. He's going up against Josh Sweat, who's no joke. And then Tyler Smith, their left guard. Right now, he leads the NFL in pass blocking efficiency, but he's going to be going up against Jalen Carter, who has been practically unblockable since coming into the league this year. He's fifth in the NFL with 28 pressures, and he's missed, what, one game or two games? One game, right? Yeah.
I think, yeah.
And then he left last week early. So, I mean, he's fifth in the NFL with 28 pressures. He's missed basically a game and a half in half a season. I mean, he's been dominant. So, I'm curious to see how that matchup plays out. And then that's going to affect Dak. One thing I will give Dak credit for, half a season into this year, he's playing at a really high rate when he's under pressure, man. It's almost impossible to continue this rate, but he has a league high 64% completion percentage under pressure compared to last year, which was 51%. So, you know, he's been playing, he's been awesome under pressure. I'll give him credit for that, but that's not going to continue all year. And we know Dak is prone to turning the ball over. It could happen again. Our defense can get after him. We do, even though our secondary has been, let's just say, inconsistent, we do have a ton of talent back there in the secondary. And if that D-line gets after Dak, we could get some turnovers here. So, overall, here's the deal, man. I say it most years. I expect the Eagles to split with Dallas. This is a home game, so I'm going with the Eagles. If they win, I'll probably have to pick Dallas in the next one. If the Eagles lose, I'll probably pick the Eagles in the next one. But I do expect, no matter who wins this game, I expect a split. So I'm going with the Eagles with a final score of 24-23.
Well, when I look at this matchup, and I'll go quick, obviously, yeah, I do believe it's going to be a split because that's how it is when these two teams are pretty decent. But when you look at these two, I mean, obviously, the question is Jalen Hurts healthy enough? He has the bone bruise.
Yeah.
He's obviously had turnovers the last several weeks, and this is a team, and this is a defense that they're going against that's immune to turnovers. They're absolutely great at turning the ball over. They do it at the most aggressive rate in the league. They're like the Dolphins. I sweat the Dolphins' elite offense. They have at least aggressive offense. They have an aggressive defense, and that's the matchup. I mean, to me, I think Dak will do an okay job. He's obviously done a decent job with McCarthy calling it. But obviously, when I look at this matchup, can Jalen avoid turnovers? And that's going to be tough. It's going to be very, very tough. And when I look at it this way, I mean, I think in this game, there's going to be turnovers by both teams, by both offenses. And, you know, the problem with the Eagles is they have lost the turnover round the last 3 weeks, and that's not good. Even though they, you know, they're 7-1, they're minus what, -4 in the turnover margin, I think, -4, -5. They gotta get it going. They have to avoid this because if they don't, Dallas gets on them, and it could be a battle. And I think it will be a battle. I can see Dallas doing some things and the Eagles doing some things. But at the end, one thing we've learned, and you've watched enough Eagles games to this point, and we saw that last week watching Washington here, the fourth quarter comes around, that's when the Eagles take off. That's when they dominate both sides of the ball. And I think that's what's going to happen again in this game. When we get to the fourth quarter, the Eagles are going to be in full control. And that's where I think that's what's going to matter here. So I have the Eagles winning as well. Obviously, split, we'll see. Eagles win. Obviously, they do what they have to do. A.J. Brown has another big game of over 125 receiving yards. He outplays CeeDee Lamb. So, Eagles win, and the final score, 34-27.
Okay, man. Okay.
But the battle is going to be turnovers. whoever turns the ball over the least is going to probably have the better advantage. So we'll see what happens here. But that's all we have for this week. Like I said, I mean, that's our my game of the week. I think Kwame's intriguing matchup with the Ravens and the Seahawks, and John's fantasy matchup was Bengals and Bills, I believe.
5 seconds, bro.
All right. Have a good night, everybody. See you on Wednesday.